But enough about me, enough about you, because the one whom I really want to commend to you today is Jesus Christ. I want to do that thing I've learned, the foolish simplicity of preaching Christ and Him crucified. And what do I say? I mean, 10 years, and in the grace of God, I'm satisfied with the things that I've said and written here, even though there are about 15 booklets in me that I wish were written already, a couple exegetical daily devotionals, a translation, some seminars. There are 1,000 things that I want to say, and there are 1,000,000 things that I could say, but I think that if I say one thing, and if this one thing is happening, then it'll take care of 1,000,000 things. And because you're supposed to preach one main thing with 3 or 4 subpoints, then I'm going to give you this one thing to do from 4 perspectives. I'll briefly share the how and the why. And I pray for grace. Let's pray. Father, give grace now to speak and to hear. May this be a trajectory-setting word for those whose trajectory is already set so well. Maybe may it just be a fine-tuning. Or maybe just lock into place what's already set. Or maybe confirm what's already locked into place. Or do whatever you got to do. Please edify your church as you glorify your name. Amen. The one thing is this. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. Or maybe more accurately, in the continual tense that the scriptures use, be beholding. Be in that process of beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus. I know you do this. By the grace of God, you do this. You couldn't do it when you were blind and dead in your sins and rebellion. You were exchanging the glory of God for pathetic, 2-bit, temporary pleasures like self. You were blind because you were dead spiritually. But by an act of sovereign grace, God said, Lazarus, come out. And you came alive and your eyes opened from darkness to light. The God who said, out of darkness, light will shine, shone into your hearts so that to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You came to life and you breathed with faith and your eyes saw, new spiritual eyes in you saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And I praise the glory of God's grace that He's done that in you. And I'm telling you, keep looking. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Be beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one thing. And I'm saying it's the one thing because of Psalm 27:4, where David said, one thing I ask, and this I seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh. This is the one thing. And I'm saying that it'll take care of 1,000,000 things because the Apostle Paul, who was blinded by the light, really unblinded by the light of the glory of God in the face of the resurrected and exalted Jesus, Paul saw that this Jesus of Nazareth, is that Yahweh. He is the Yahweh of Psalm 27:4. And so Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with face having been unveiled, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory unto glory as from the Lord, the Spirit. Beholding. This is a present participle in the Greek. It signifies continual action. Be beholding. And I believe that it's an instrumental participle, which means that we could translate it by beholding. That it is by the process of continually beholding the glory of the Lord that we are being transformed into that glory, from glory to glory to glory. And I know you do it, but I also know that the eyes of our heart often get sleepy. I know we've been looking for a long time and we can settle. We get kind of used to the scenery and cease to be as amazed as we should be. I've caught myself sometimes thinking things or saying things or writing things that should blow my mind, but I'm just kind of casual about them. Things like Jesus died for sins and was raised again. Like Jesus is reigning and coming again. And I stop and think, I'm like, are you kidding me? It's Jesus died for sins and was raised again. He's reigning and he's coming again soon. And I know that our weak souls and our weak bodies can't maintain that pitch of emotion all the time. But I also know that Tim read a great passage to us last Sunday out of Romans 12 where it says to never be lacking in zeal, but to be being fervent in spirit. And the Greek for fervent, zeo, could be translated as boiling. Be boiling hot in your love and affection and passion for the Lord Jesus. So lest you grow lukewarm, lest you become casual about the Lord Jesus, I want to remind you today that we're talking about the Word of God. He never started. He has life in himself. He is the great I am. From eternity past, longer ago than we can imagine, he is. He was burning bright, a consuming fire, a raging glory of love and joy with God the Father and God the Spirit. We're talking about the Word of God through whom all things were created. Who else has sound waves that vibrate and turn nothing into everything that is? Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about the Word of God who created you out of his joy and for his glory. We're talking about the Word of God who is holding you together. Colossians 1, he is before all things, and in him all things have held together. Hebrews 1, he is the radiance of the glory of God, and he is carrying all things by the word of his power. I've said it here before that the only reason any of us are here right now is because the Son of God on his throne is saying the words, be there. He's saying, Jonathan Brickley, be there. Make a Madeleine Albright joke. He's saying, John Brickley, be there. Be wrong but funny about a pre-trib rapture. It's his word. We're talking about the Lord of the universe who made galaxies, and it wasn't even hard for him. Every night he puts billions of stars into place. He's numbered them. He's named them. He's even numbered the hairs on your head. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. Not casually, but boiling. We're talking about the sovereign Lord of the universe. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth was given to me. He said, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things. There's not one rogue molecule in the world. Every subatomic, I can't even say it, it's too scientific and smart-like. Every subatomic particle in the universe is held together by Jesus. Every subatomic particle is under his sovereign command, the one who is working together all things for your good. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. Though he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a lowly human, a servant. He was a baby who didn't know how to say a single word, but it was his word that was holding together his manger. He had to be carried around everywhere in swaddling clothes, but it was the power of his word that was holding all things together, carrying all things. He grew up without sin. Without sin. He resisted every temptation of the devil. He loved the poor and the outcast. He drove out demons with a word. He walked on water. He calmed the sea with a word. He healed the sick with a word. He made the lame walk. He made the blind see. He raised the dead to life. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. And he displayed that glory supremely by humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. The one with all power and all authority allowed himself to be mocked and beaten and nailed to a cross because of our sins. He could have gotten down. It was his word holding all things together. It was the power of his word holding the nails to his cross. He stayed there. He said, "For this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." He endured the cross because he loved the glory of his Father. He endured the cross because he loved us. He said, "No one has greater love than this. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for you." He said, "I have authority to lay down my soul, and I have authority to take it up again." We're talking about the Word of God become flesh, who caused his own resurrection. Lazarus had nothing to do with his resurrection. You didn't cause your spiritual resurrection, and you're not going to cause your physical resurrection. But we're talking about the Word of God who caused his own resurrection, because he could say, "I am resurrection and life. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus," not casually, boiling. That's the one thing from four perspectives, four locations, so to speak. And the first one is, be beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus on the throne of God. I asked everybody, close your eyes right now. Close your eyes, please, but open your spiritual eyes for the book of Revelation and behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb having been slain, standing before the throne of God, God Almighty. There's a crystal sea underneath, rainbow above. He's holding the scroll. Thousands upon thousands of angels are singing his praises. Worthy is the Lamb. Behold, one like a son of man, walking in the midst of the golden lampstands, having been clothed in a long white robe, wrapped at the chest with a golden sash. His head and its hairs are white like wool, white like snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like burnished bronze, as having been fired in a furnace. And his voice like the voice of many waters, and having in his right hand seven stars, and coming out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword with which to judge the nations. And his face is shining like the sun in its power. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can open your eyes and open your ears and hear him say, "Do not be fearing. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am living into the ages of the ages. I have conquered. I have the keys of death and of Hades. I've sat down on my Father's throne, and I am coming quickly." This is the Lord. This is what he's like. This is where he is. Beheld on the throne of God. So that's number one. Number two, behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in you. The glorious God is in you. If you're truly his disciple, if you're truly abiding in his word, and isn't it crazy that we get casual about this? We get complacent about this. The fullness of the Godhead is in you. The resurrected God-man is in you. The Spirit of Christ is in you. Behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in you. Enjoy his presence continually. Commune with him continually. Feast on the river of his delights. And as you focus on him there in heaven and there in you, stay focused on what he's doing there. He's transforming you into his image from glory to glory. This comes from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're all about discipleship here, and there's so much equipping to be received, so many missions to go on. But let's keep straight. One main point of discipleship, one goal. Luke 6:40, Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but every disciple, having been fully equipped, will be like his teacher. So test yourselves continually. Am I becoming like Jesus? Am I increasing in his love, in his patience, his kindness? This is supposed to be really practical. When I'm inconvenienced, do I grumble? When I'm offended, do I pray and bless? When I'm tired, do I lean on him and still speak nicely, kindly to my wife and kids? The answer is yes and no. And I'll get to the how, the desperate how, but the question remains, am I becoming like Jesus from the inside out? Am I being filled with his gut-wrenching compassion for the poor and the outcast and moved to show mercy? Am I being consumed with a boiling zeal for the glory of the Father like the Son has? This is the one thing, beholding the glory of the Lord and thereby becoming the glory of the Lord. Don't despair that you're not there yet. He designed this to be a process. The fullness will come at his return. 1 John 3:2 says that we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. When we behold the glory of the Lord perfectly and unfiltered, and that twinkling of an eye, we'll be totally transformed into his glory because we become what we look at. And in that fullness, we will be fully transformed. The process has already started. And that's why the very next verse reads, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." So we behold him in ever-increasing measures. And the more we see, the more we're transformed. And I just say to you, keep it up. One, behold the glory of the Lord Jesus on his throne. Two, in you. And three, in the church. The church is the living body of Jesus on earth. You're not the only one with God in you. When I'm looking at Shem, I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at God. And I'm not being heretical because 2 Peter 1 is true about Shem. He is participating in the divine nature. Not perfectly. I know I'm looking at Shem and there's nothing good in his flesh. And I really hate that about you, dude. You know, in the right way, in the you've got specs and I've got planks kind of way. But I hate Shem's flesh, and I want to help him to make no provision for it, to reckon it dead. But Jesus is in Shem. The glory of the Lord Jesus is in Shem, and that's got to affect how I think about Shem. Think about all of you who have Jesus in you. It's a new life. I just tell you, hear Brock McKay when he quotes more than anyone I've ever heard, 2 Corinthians 5, we regard no one according to the flesh. See each other spiritually. Young men in here, I charge you, submit to the elders because Christ is in them. Honor the older women because Christ is in them. Treat the younger women like sisters because Christ is in them. Don't compete with each other, except in this. Here's how you can compete with one another. Outdo, this is what Paul said, outdo one another in showing honor. Because Christ is in you and them. So behold the glory of the Lord Jesus on his throne, in you, in the church. And fourthly, lastly, behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in the world. He's not in the world like he's in you or in the church, but he is out there on mission, just like he prayed for you in John 17, not of the world, but in the world. He's in the world still. Some have called the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We've called it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, like others do, and I'm not arguing against that. That's gloriously true. But I think we could also call the book of Acts the Acts of the Exalted Lord Jesus. It's like Luke's gospel is the Acts of the Humbled Lord Jesus, and his sequel could be called the Acts of the Exalted Lord Jesus, because he's still acting in the world while reigning on his throne in heaven, because he's the sovereign of the world. Acts 2:47, says this, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Who did Luke mean? Just God generally? That'd be true enough. But a few verses earlier, Luke wrote of Peter saying this, "Know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Jesus is Lord, and the Lord added to their number day by day. So from heaven, the Lord Jesus is still active and working in the earth to reveal himself and his Father, like he said he'd do in Matthew 11. So behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in the world. I have been horrible at this, and it's one of my biggest hopes in moving to Lawrence that I'll finally learn not to settle and to push outside of comfort zones and outside of selfish stewardship of time and do the work of an evangelist. And I'll pray for the church in El Dorado to continue to grow in this grace. These are my farewell exhortations. Be beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus on his throne, in you, in his church, and in the world. I know you've seen this glory, seen enough to be awed, but you've just gotten started. He's infinite. So just keep looking, keep gazing into him. Like a big, one-of-a-kind diamond with just so many facets and so much brilliance just dancing out of it. I got to mention the how, because you can't do a single thing I've said today on your own. The Lord said, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. John 15:5. You can't behold the glory of the Lord except by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's the good news, because Jesus said he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And Jesus said, all the Father has is mine. That's why I said he would take from what is mine and make it known to you. So there's another one of those just astounding things to blow your mind, that all that the Father has is Jesus. You can't do what I've said, but you need the Spirit, and he's promised it's his ministry to glorify the Lord Jesus in you. And this rounds us back to 2 Corinthians 3:18, because it said there, by beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory unto glory, as from the Lord, the Spirit. That's the how, the Spirit's ministry in you. We just agree with him. We receive from him. And so that's why we pray. And lastly, I exhort you to pray Ephesians 1:18, that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. And I'd love to pray for you right now. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give my beloved friends, give your beloved church here the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Enlighten their hearts. Give their spiritual eyes light to see more and more of your glory in the face of your Son. Amen. Lastly, in 1 minute, the why, got the how and the why, is joy. The world's offering you junk that looks good and tastes good and feels good for a little while, but then you're empty, feeling guilty, and awaiting judgment. Everything I've said to you today has been like what Paul said to the Philippians, for your joy and progress in the faith. It's been like Jesus in John 15 when he said, I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So if you want the fullest amount of joy possible for the longest amount of time possible, then please do this one thing in these four ways. See and savor the glory of the Lord Jesus. Share with each other and spread to all people the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. May it be so.
Excellent. Excellent. The message, the word. Perfect. Could Amber and kids and Wanda, if you would make your way up here, feel comfortable. I'd love for you to stand with these guys. We want to send them You all know, if you've been around for any part of time, Spencer's fingerprints are all over everything that's happened here for the last 10 years as I found a young son in the faith and a partner who has excelled in the Word of God. And as he proclaimed the Word of God among us, you can see that he will faithfully be taking the message of messages everywhere he goes. And we're just so blessed. We're proud of you. We're blessed by you. I want to say to you before I invite everybody up here, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming and is now here, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure the suffering that's coming. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill all the duties of your ministry. Just so proud of what Spence has done among us. He's impacted us. The fruit can be seen pretty immediately here of what you've done. But I really think that only eternity will bear out all that you've done. I don't know if you saw the midweek this week, but there was a class standing in northern India that had just been through training for 9 months, and they were using the booklets that we had written. And these booklets and the things that Spencer's done in preaching, teaching, and writing not only have affected this area, but globally. And I'm not doing that to tout him. I'm just saying that the Lord is faithfully using our brother. And it has just begun. This is just the beginning. It's the first fruits. I'm glad it's the best 10 years, and it will be nothing compared to the next 10 years. And we are so, so blessed by the fullness of this family and all that they've been to us. So if you would like to come, we want to take a moment and lay hands on them and send them. I am going to invite everyone to stand. And if you want to come and let's lay hands on Spencer and send them, I'm going to try to keep my cord here stretched. Great. And you can pray from there or up here if you feel so compelled. But this is a changing and seizing for us as a family. Spencer's had that level of impact on us. And Amber, thank you for all you have done and imparted and blessed. Wanda, we love you and look at the fruit of your womb and the blessing that has blessed so many beyond you could ever imagine. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, before the glorious one, beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus on the throne, in us, in the church, in the world, and in the stewards, we see the glory of the Lord Jesus in the stewards. And this is what makes them great among us. Thank you for their labor and patience. Thank you for them, their faith in you and their edification to the many that have come through their lives. Thank you for the impartation that they've given of the word that will endure, that dwells and bears fruit here. It'll go to Lawrence, and it's going to the nations. Jesus, we pray that you would, as you have done, make yourself famous through the ministry of Spencer and Amber. Increase your government and increase your glory everywhere they go. We pray that your fame and your fragrance would spread all over Lawrence, at Veritas, around in the population there at KU University. We're asking, Father, that you would use our brother and sister and the kiddos for the glory of your name. Lord, make yourself famous. May you increase and they decrease. Give them grace and strength in times of lack. May they know how to steward the success that's coming. I pray that they would truly be content and find you as their prize, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for them in our midst. And we pray for your blessing all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Blessings.